doing now and seeing people's lives change, because when you start with a new church, things happen and change all the time. And about a year ago is when it really started to take off, and I think it was about that time that we started really praying, said, God, send us some solid, normal, stable people. And we actually said, like those couples we knew in Titusville. I mean, we said that, didn't we? We said it was, you know, we look back to the... Were you paying attention? We did say that, because the people here, we just really love them. It's like, we need some people like that, that can be elders and deacons and help us in ministry. And then God has been sending them in. And just like here, a lot of them are younger too, which is what we really need, because they have so many good ideas and they have so much energy. And we just don't have the energy we used to have. And we have a young worship leader, he and his wife, they have three kids and they're going to have a fourth, and they're always wanting to do something. They're just full of energy, and they just took on two teenage exchange students, one from Korea and one from China, and she's going to have a baby in May. So they're just they've been a real blessing. If you ever met them, you'd be blessed. But I want to just spend a few minutes on updating the ones that do know us and that know our three kids that came with us when we lived here. Just give a brief update, although if you have Facebook, you probably know some things. Bryce is extremely successful out in Las Vegas. The only thing we're praying is that he would take that success somewhere else and not be so influenced by that. But he is a real leader and a manager and doing great. And he's a great dad. He's got a little five-year-old son. Audrey, beyond everybody's expectations, she is going to graduate after 6.5 years from college with a degree in photography and design. And I would say she has a boyfriend that I would call him a fiance. And just said to her a text the other day, I said, you need to bring Billy out to Pennsylvania. And she said, LOL, said, I've told him all about Pennsylvania, so you'll probably see Billy someday. And then Rochelle, if you're on Facebook, you see her Goodness Coffee Shop. Goodness as in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, goodness, so forth. And almost every day she posts something creative she's making in the coffee shop. And I'm just really proud of her for what she's done there. It's been a success. Love you guys.
Thank you, hon.
Hallelujah. Yeah, praise the Lord.
You know, when we came here, we actually came here back 17 years ago in 2000. And when we came, we had really sought the Lord as to what He had for our lives. And this is something that you should be doing as well, because God wants to make your life an adventure. It's not just the ordinary. He wants to bring you into some surprises. He wants to show you things you've never seen, have you enter into things you've never thought about, cause you to experience things beyond yourself. We had a prophet many, many years ago prophesy to us and tell us that our lives and ministry would always be an adventure. And that's what it's been. And in coming to Titusville, what we found was the very thing that God wanted for our lives and for the children we still had living at home. And the thing that so touched our hearts is when we came here, we found that you, Grace Fellowship, embraced us. And we found that the thing that I found in the men, that we have here manly men. I don't know how else to say it, but manly men that are willing to step up and take leadership, who are willing to make decisions, who are willing to demonstrate and model both to their wives and to their children what God wants them to have, wants them to be. And in the ladies, what we found were godly women who are willing to see beyond themselves and sacrifice themselves, not only for their children, but in serving their husbands and then in serving Christ. And this church, as it were, it went through transition. And the Lord God, back in those days, there was something going on, and He healed this church, and He changed this church. And then He brought this young man by the name of Phil Taylor ever closer to my heart. And Phil was the youth leader here at Grace and had been for a number of years. And just taking him under my wing and just encouraging him, because he already had a tremendous background in the Word of God, being out of Elam, He had a tremendous background in the Word of God, and he had had experience in the level of ministry he had. But all the way, I knew that God had more for him. And one day, I was ministering here, and I just saw him in vision. And I saw just a whole row of lamps, like in a menorah. And only part of those lamps, this represented Phil, your pastor, and only part of those lamps were lit. And over the years, I would have that vision again and again, and the same lamps would be lit, like three or four of those menorah lamps. And then another one would pop up, and there would be four. Another one pop up, there would be five. And then I had a vision to where all seven were lit up. And the thing that God showed me is he was the one to take the leadership and the authorship over your lives and bringing you forward in the things of the Spirit. And Pastor Phil and Alexa have done that very thing. And so I hope that you understand that Cindy and I, in coming here and then coming back, it's always the greatest thrill for us and excitement and joy for us. And to get to see old friends and have time with you and be able to say hello and to understand that you're still here and you're still wanting to move forward in the things of God brings us no end of excitement and anticipation for what has for this church next. This morning I want to be able to encourage you from the Word and bring something to you that I think is going to strengthen your hearts. I'm going to have you go to 1 Timothy, if you have your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let's see, do we get that up on the screen or not? You working on that, Baby Eve? I call her Baby Eve. Nobody else can call her that but me. All right. One of the great truths that Paul brings out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is this. In verse 18, he says that God sets the members, every one of them, in the body of Christ as it pleases him. Not as it pleases me, the pastor, not as it pleases you, the member. But God takes each one of us, when you become a Christian, he just doesn't have you out there floating around or being a floater. You never want to get into that floating thing where you float from one church to the next. You want to be able to give heed to what the Spirit of the Lord is leading you to. And he sets you. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians 12 says, he sets the members in the church as it pleases him. And then in verse 28, he says, and these are set in the church or appointed. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. First apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, and he goes down the list. And these also are set in the church. And we are gifts. Matter of fact, you are gifts one to another. And the wonderful thing about this is that word set is a very strong word in the Greek. It actually means that you are appointed unto this church, or you are ordained unto this church. And it's the same kind of language that's used in the Old Testament when God, it said that he set the stars in the sky, that he ordained their places, and he established their glory, the strength of their shine. That God has done these things, and this is what he's done with you. He brings you in, and he sets you in a house of prayer, a house of the Word, a house of fellowship called the church. Because it's there that you're going to grow, you're going to develop. The gifts of the Spirit, the gifts that God gives you, and every one of you have gifts, something the Holy Spirit has given you that's unique to you. This is where you're going to manifest that. This is where you're going to release that. And in the release of that gift, in release of that thing that God has given you, then the whole body works together and we grow in love. And through all of that, Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, when it's the whole body in operation, then Christ is revealed in his fullness. And there is a strength that is beyond just we ourselves. So God does this. He sets you in the church. He's ordained a place for you. So there you can put down roots and bring up fruit. It's not insignificant that in the Old Testament, God calls us, he calls his people trees of righteousness. And being up here in the Northwest, I know that you all understand about trees. We have lots of lumbering. We have lumberjacks. We have people who, you know, price trees, cut trees, fell trees, haul trees. They do everything about trees here. Well, guess what you are? You are a tree of righteousness. And the thing about a tree is it puts down roots. You are never called in the Word of God a houseplant of righteousness. No. Now, you're not a houseplant of the Lord. You're not a houseplant of the Lord, because houseplants, you can move them all around the house, and they have no roots. Well, you say, yeah, Pastor Jeff, they do. I know, just these teeny, but no fruit. But trees of righteousness, they put down fruit, and then put down roots, and then they bring up fruit. They become established, stable, unmovable in the work of the Lord. And it's there that God begins to prosper them and cause them to grow and develop and to be transformed into His image, to bring forth fruit that will be a blessing to their families as well as to the God in heaven. So this is something very important the Lord wants us to understand about being set in the church. Now, when you're set in the church, and you're one of those trees, and you're putting down roots and bringing up fruit, then you become established in the things of God, and He's able to use you. You see, we are in Seymour. We planted a church in Seymour 2 years ago, and we have all of these young people coming. Now, that is a thrill to Cindy and I, because at this point, what Cindy and I are to all these young people coming into our church are just mom and dad. You know, we're just pop and mom. You know, that's what we are. And as a spiritual father to them and a spiritual mother to them, we are mentoring them. We are coaching them. We are giving them the benefit of over 40 years of Christian ministry, pastoring in different places, establishing different churches. And what we're doing is we're raising them up. Because if there's one thing that God is doing in these last days, is He is raising up the next generations. Because the next generations of Christians are going to be stronger and go farther than what we presently are. You have to understand that God is wanting to take the next generations and those of us who are older and been around a while, that we would mentor them and guide them. We would model Christianity to them. We would encourage them in the faith so that they can go far beyond what we've ever gone and achieve far more than what we've ever achieved. Thank you for the amen. And it's so true. It is a place to where it's, and you've heard this, I'm sure, but where our ceiling, you see up here the ceiling? So for my ceiling, at the end of my life, my ceiling becomes the next generation's floor. And they don't have to go back, as it's been in so many generations of the church, where the next generation has to go back to ground zero and start where we started. But they can go from where I take them and where you take them, and they can go on in the faith. Because the church in these last days is going to be without spot, without wrinkle, without any kind of blemish, without any sort of thing. It's going to be a glorious church, a glorious bride, a chaste virgin. It's going to be presented to the Lord, because the Lord is coming. Just as He came the first time, He's going to come the second time, and the church is going to be ready. The church is not going to be some this weak, impotent, ineffectual thing upon the face of the earth. But she's going to be influencing vast numbers of the earth, vast numbers of nations. She's going to influence leaders. She's going to have the same kind of clout that the first century church had and far beyond. Because the last is going to be far better than the first. The last is going to be far greater than the first. And the Lord is going to bring this about for His own glory and honor. And so in raising up these young people, what we're seeing is God take them, and they're catching it. They catch it in a way I never did. Catching spiritual truth, wanting to go farther with the Lord, staying hungry and thirsty so they can become all God wants them to become. And it behooves us, we older folk, to take this to heart and to be the spiritual fathers and mothers that God wants us to be. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, what you see here is Paul exhorting the church. And he's exhorting the church to pray. And he says it in this beautiful way. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. He says, "Therefore I exhort first of all," or "I am encouraging you, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for many to be testified in due time. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was also appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that men everywhere pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without anger and without unbelief. Paul is calling the church to enter into a place of prayer and to intercede and to be, as it were, as Ezekiel saw his people and describes them, as watchmen upon a wall. You are a watchman upon a wall, and each one of us watch for one another, and we watch for those in our neighborhoods. We're watching for our state. We're watching for our nation. We're watching. We're watchmen upon the wall, and it's our responsibility. It's your responsibility, male and female, young and old, that you take your place upon the wall, the watchman upon the wall, and to blow the trumpet, to warn when they see wickedness come, to warn when they see evil coming, to warn when they see an enemy coming. And you're sounding out the warning because you're a watchman on the wall, as Ezekiel describes it in chapter 33 of his prophecy. It's really a serious thing that God has called us to enter into, and the most glorious, the most wonderful, to be sounding the trumpet, to be delivering souls, to be men and women of prayer, and to present Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And there is no other way. There's only one true God, and there's not another true God. And other forms of religion are just that. They're religion. But Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship. And it's a relationship with the living God. And you grow with that God. You learn that God. You come to know that God. And even more wonderful, that God comes to know you. And so God has called us to this, to enter into this, to walk in this. This is something that is dear upon our hearts, and we must take it to heed. You must blow the trumpet. You see, the very next chapter of Ezekiel is really scary, and being a shepherd under the great shepherd, you know, it always speaks to me, because there in that 34th chapter of Ezekiel, there the man of God describes the judgment that's going to come upon unfaithful shepherds, where the shepherds have abused the sheep and misused the sheep, where they themselves have gotten fat off the sheep, and yet the sheep languish. They're still sick. They're still broke. They're still poverty-stricken. They're still defeated. They're still oppressed. They're still wandering around lost. And great judgment is leveled against those kinds of shepherds, because the shepherds, the thing that God does in this day is He raises up shepherds. There are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who will have His heart, shepherds after His own heart. And they're jealous for the sheep, and they love the sheep, and they're willing to lay themselves out for the sheep. And they don't back down just because of difficulty. On this great adventure they find themselves, they move forward by faith. And they keep moving forward. You see, we believe our church in Seymour, which is one of many, many, many churches in Seymour, we believe we have our place. We're a piece of the puzzle in what God is doing in Seymour, in Jackson County, Jennings County, Bartholomew, Scott County, all around us. We believe that we're a piece of what God's doing there, and that Seymour is a city of God. How do you see Titusville? Do you see Titusville as a city of God? You ever thought of it that way? A whole city. Titusville, city of God. Seymour, a city of God. And you know, with these young guys, man, I'll tell you, it's fun. Just, you know, I've got two of these, one on each hand. And I just point now, and I tell Isaac, you know, Isaac, let's go there. Grab your guitar and let's go there. Or I'll tell Jonathan, my young assistant pastor, I say, Jonathan, right over there. I want you to do. And it's fun being a spiritual father and mother and being led of the Spirit, you know. And I just guide these guys and gals, you know. And you just point, you know. You just delegate, and things happen. So my young worship leader, Isaac Davis and the Isaac Davis Band. How's that sound? You know, huh? Is that pretty hot? Huh? Anyway, Isaac, he's real evangelistic, and so he wants to do things in the city and get us out on the streets and, you know, into the parks and into the ball fields and into the gymnasiums and all that kind of stuff. And so we had planned this big blowout in the park. And we took all of our sound equipment down. They have a pavilion there, and they have a stand you can hook up, and it's got electric to it. So we took our sound equipment down there. We took our instruments. And man, on a Saturday afternoon, we had a blowout. And I mean, the whole city stayed away. Yeah, no, nobody showed up. No, nobody, no, there wasn't anybody there. And I got home, and I thought, Lord, you know, what? I really believed you wanted me to do that, and Isaac wanted to do that, and you wanted us to do that, because this city is a city of God, and you sent us here, and that's a whole other story about God sending people to you, just like He's sending you in here, because He's setting you. You're ordained here to put down roots and bring up fruit, and you're a tree of righteousness and not a house plant. And so what God is doing, and I was thinking about that, and He said, well, I felt so impressed to do something in that park. And so we've been having this men's meeting on Monday night, and all these young guys show up. It started out in our house. And our house is not real big. So we were kind of running out of room. And I thought, well, you know, the weather's nice. Hey, guys, let's go down to the park. We're going to meet on Monday night down in the park. And in this is a big park in Seymour. They got several parks in Seymour. And this is a big one. It's got a skate park there. It's got basketball courts, tennis, swimming pool, all this kind of stuff. A lot of people come in there. So we go down there on Monday nights. We guys would go down there, and we'd go underneath the pavilion or sit out at picnic tables under a tree. And we would just start talking, and then we'd start worshiping God. Isaac bring his guitar, you know, we'd start worshiping and singing, raising our hands, and then, you know, we'd share the word. And then it came into our hearts just to walk that park. So here's all these guys, you know, and we're walking this park. And I said, you go that way, and we just scattered all over that park. It's a big park. We scattered all over. I said, just pray as you go, just pray. We're going to pray over this park. And anyone that you feel led to just talk to and share the love of the Lord Jesus to, or pray with them, so you just go ahead and do that. And so they came back, and they were excited. You know, after about 20, 30 minutes, they all came back, and they're all excited because they prayed for this one, and they ministered to that one. They invited this one to church, you know, and they all came back. So the next Monday rolls around. We do it all over again. We walk the park. So we did that for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks in a row, and something changed. Because what we discovered is we established the spiritual atmosphere over the park. We established a spiritual atmosphere. There's something really to this, saints. Those of you who are intercessors, you know what I'm talking about moving in and occupying. It's the thing apostles do. Apostles go in, they just don't establish and raise up churches. They take whole geographical areas. Read the book of Acts, you can see how Paul did that. But we establish a spiritual atmosphere over this park. And we carried around little bottles of oil, so we anointed everything. Man, I mean, we anointed the trees, we anointed the gates into the park, we anointed the park benches, we just anointed everything. And then we got our opportunity, we anointed people too. We prayed for their healing. They get it. Anyway, so we established a spiritual atmosphere. So we started singing again about the fifth week, and we're singing, and we start, you know, we're worshiping our hands, and all these kids from the skate park, you know, all the skaters and the bikers and all, they started coming over and standing around us, listening to us. And then Isaac, being the young guy he is, he said, well, come on in. Any of you guys play instruments? Any of you sing? And he just drew them on in. And one or two of them, you know, they would play a guitar, so he'd hand the guitar to them, and they would play, and we would sing. And what happened is week after week, this thing just kept building till we had maybe 15 or 20 of these young kids just standing around us, and they were getting saved. And we were leading them to Christ. And it was great. And there were two young girls, had beautiful voices, and they had been a part of churches. And then they kind of drifted away. And Isaac said, well, come on over here. And they began to sing with us. And we were able to pray for the restoration of their spiritual lives and to point them back to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was just, it's just been this kind of thing that you know, as you pray, just what Paul is saying is we make intercession. God will establish things in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our cities, in our geographical region that's far beyond ourselves. And it's fun to see this happen because it happens in the coolest ways. One night, we were singing and we started worshiping the Lord there in the park. And I saw this Latino lady standing over, you know, not too far away. And she was watching us and she had three teenage girls with her. And we found this out later. She's watching us and she's wondering what we're doing. And so she asked her girls that are with her. And the girl said, "Oh, they're just a bunch of old men over there smoking pot." And she said, "Oh, okay." But she kept watching. You know, she kept watching. We kept worshiping. Pretty soon she said, "Oh," she said, she smacked one of them on there. And she's like, "They're not old men smoking pot. They're old men worshiping Jesus." And then these guys are 20 and 30 years old. I'm thinking, you know, what am I? Glory to God. So over she comes. She comes on over. She drags those three girls with her. She sits down there. We end up ministering to her. She gives her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. We minister to the three girls. I want to tell you, if you will pray, if you will see Titusville in this area as a city and a region of God, and you will pray to that effect, and you manly men will be men, and you lovely ladies will be ladies, and you will pray as spiritual sons and daughters of the Most High God, you will see this church grow. You will see this city grow. You will see this region change. Because you establish something beyond yourself. And brothers and sisters, we have got to have something beyond ourselves. It just can't be the ordinary. We serve a God who will bring the supernatural, who will bring beyond ourselves experiences into our lives. And your life will become an adventure. And it doesn't make any difference where you find yourself if you just make yourself available. What God wants you to do, He wants you to be able to move into this kind of spiritual mindset and where your heart is after more of God. And He moves you towards the things of the Spirit. We have experienced something unique in this nation and this new president. And I don't know where you are all about that, but all I'm going to say is the fact that Christians were praying that God would set His person in that office. We were praying in Seymour. We were praying at Genesis that God would set His person in office. And then we got a vice president that came out of our state who openly admits at the mic that he's a Christian. He's praying for the president. He's praying for our nation. I'm just saying, there is a change that has been affected. There is a righteousness that is arising. And what you want to do now, listen, what you want to do, I was watchman on the wall, if you were praying to that same effect as we were all praying, that our nation would come back to righteousness, that wicked sins, that things that have troubled our nation, that the killing of the innocent, the murder of the innocent, And the whole thing with sexuality, the confusion surrounding who's male and who's female, and why is that guy going in the restroom? Yeah, I know he's wearing a skirt, but he's still a guy, and I don't care. I don't care what anybody else says about it. If we get down to the nitty-gritty, he's still a guy, and he doesn't need to be in there with my daughter. And if it's up to me, he won't be. In love, I will escort him out. Saying just, we Christians, as we move toward the end, we know that things will get heavier and heavier in the, heavier and heavier in the earth. We know that things will face things as Christians, as the true church of Jesus Christ, we've never faced before, especially here in America, to a greater and greater degree. And so our spirituality, our commitment, our devotion, our consecration, our pursuing the things of the Spirit must become ever deeper. And we must become ever more committed to following the Savior and remaining faithful and true unto Him. So the thing that I want to tell you this morning is that this new year is a pivotal year. The prophets are saying that in this new year, and this is what I hear by the Spirit, that this new year for the church is great victory for the church. And there is an overflow that is coming, an overflow of the Spirit that is coming to those individuals and churches who desire that. It will come into their regions and it will change the regions. God will establish righteousness as He desires. And He will bring about things beyond ourselves that only He can accomplish. And so to do that, what the Lord wants you to do in this new year, He wants you to have your focus. And there's a lot of things that can divide up your attention and become distractions for you. But you want to put the Word of God first. You want to put prayer first. You want to put God's people first. You want to put these things of the Spirit first, because there's an alignment in the realm of the Spirit that's always established. You even see it in the family. First the man, first Christ, then the man, then the wife, then the children. There's always a divine alignment. There's an alignment to walking with God. And when you're in alignment this way, things work out this way. A lot of people are after this. They're after the horizontal to get all this worked out in their lives, and they're ignoring this, which is the alignment, which is the vertical. So you've got to have the vertical. You've got to have the divine alignment established in your life. This is what God's doing in the church. He's bringing about divine alignment. The alignment is coming back to the church, like you see it in the book of Acts, as it was for about the first 300 years of church history. Rob, they'll get on that. They'll get on how the first century church, for the first 300 or 400 years, there was this divine alignment. And the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers were functioning in the church. And the church was revolving around their ministry, in prayer, in the Word, in leadership. And so God is bringing about this alignment. So as you come into alignment with the Lord in this new year, and you sharpen your focus, let your focus become sharper on the things of the Spirit, on the Word of God. A lot of the little things that trouble you now are just going to become non-existent, because the enemy will not have access to your mind or spirit like he does now. The second thing you want to be able to do is let your faith become stronger. You want to feed upon the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of the Lord. And you've got to hear it from a preacher like me under an anointing with fellow believers, but you've got to hear it for yourself as you sit in your quiet place by yourself in your house. And you've got to read it, you've got to meditate on it, and let God talk to you about it, because there is fresh revelation coming out of that Word. Present truth that the Lord wants to lock you into and calls you to walk in, so that you can come up to higher levels of spirituality. He wants to clothe you so the supernatural, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, the healings begin to flow through your life and ministry. It's been seen by the Spirit often and by more than one prophet and apostle that there's coming a great sweep of the Spirit across America and across the world. Stadiums, the largest stadiums are going to be filled with Christians, and the most fantastic things are going to be happening in those stadiums. That's coming because God's setting it up. God's not going to go out with a whimper. Now, He's coming with a bang, folks. He's coming for a church that's glorious, that's strong, that's powerful. She's beautiful. She's holy. She's everything that God wants her to be. And that's you. And that's me. And it's not by our doing. It's by His, but as we submit to Him. So let your faith become stronger. Let it become stronger. Your focus is sharper. Your faith becomes stronger. And let your family in this new year, you got to work at this. Imagine Cindy and I with 10 kids. You got to work at this. You got to work at keeping your family close. You got to work at hanging on to them. And I don't care whether your kids are 40 or not. I got kids that are 40. You just don't let them drift. You're still praying for them. You still, as you have opportunity, I know they're adults, but you keep speaking into their lives. The young ones, you keep bringing up in the nurture and loving and admonition of the Lord. You don't back off on that. You don't give up on that. You draw your family closer. It takes a lot of work to keep a family close. We've got kids in New York City, Las Vegas, Nashville, Tennessee, Oklahoma. We got them up in Michigan. We got kids scattered all over, and it takes a lot of work and money to keep a close family. But it's worth it. I say it again. It's worth it. Every one of my babies, when she gave birth to them, they were still all gooey and yucky. And I'm holding in my hands. Every one of those little babies, I dedicate them to the Lord Jesus Christ. They belong to the Savior. They belong to Him. They're a part of His family. They're a part of His kingdom. And I'm believing they're a part of His church. Cindy and I were in agreement on that. We dedicated them at birth. We dedicated them throughout life. And so we believe that now. Now, we've got some kids that don't go to church. We've got some kids that don't darken the door of a church. Some of them aren't even sure there's a God. You know, they've drifted that far off. But I want you to hear what Pop and Mom are saying. We believe that what we said when they were born is still true today. That the passing of years hasn't changed what we declared 20, 30, 40 years ago. That doesn't change. Because we establish that. We establish something in the Spirit. We establish the atmosphere over our family that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Did you hear that? So we're going to serve the Lord. And so we let God. You know, you can't force them into it. You can't force them out of it. So you let God deal with them. But He is. And that's our confession. And that's where our faith is at. So keep your family closer. You got to work at that. The Lord will show you how. You know your families. You know your kids. You know your brothers and sisters. You know how God will lead you. But work at keeping them close. And then let your friendships. You got your families closer. Let your friendships. Listen, some of you are loners. You're isolated. You do your own thing. You've got too much to offer somebody else to keep to yourself. You can't just keep it to yourself. You're going to have to just let the Lord begin to open you up so that you can share the love of Jesus Christ in your heart with them. And the things that God has worked through you and the experiences you've experienced and the things that you've done or haven't done, you can share with them to help them along in this journey. And you're going to build, you're going to let your relations, your friendships become fuller. You're going to let your friendships become fuller. You're going to allow yourself to open up on this. Listen, you stay to yourself, you'll dry up, you'll die. You've got to open up your heart. And start speaking to others. Show yourself friendly and you'll have friends. The Lord wants you to do this. The greatest friend you have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus has many friends. And He wants you to know His friends. He wants you to be a part of His party. And have a great party of friendship with these friends. And so you've got to let your friendship, you've got to open up your heart so it becomes fuller. So you got your focus is sharper and your faith is stronger and you got your family closer and your friendships are fuller. And then you're gonna believe what the accountant of the church said this morning, and you're gonna let your finances become better. You're gonna get your house in alignment. You're gonna get out of debt. You're going to pay off the debts, and you're going to save, and you're going to get things in order, and you're going to learn, you're going to live to learn to give to God, give to yourself, and live off the rest. Thank you for that. Amen. Anyway, this is what you're going to do. You heard me. You're going to learn to give to God. He gets His. You're going to learn to give to yourself. So you got saving plans and IRAs and Roth and this and that. And you got it all working. You're giving to yourself. You're saving. You're building. You know, you got something going there so that when that refrigerator dies, you don't have to die with it. You don't have to go out and borrow. You don't have to put it on a credit card. You just go down and you buy one paid for because you got it. Thank you. So we keep going here. So you give to God, you give to yourself, and then you live off the rest. It's called discipline. Finances are going to be better. You're going to get things in order. You're going to hook up with people. It may not necessarily be Mark because I think he's kind of busy, but you're going to hook up with people who know these things, who can coach you in these things, mentor you in these things, and direct you in these things. So when you young people get to be my young age, you're going to be set. Amen. Young people, come on, amen. Yeah, when you get to be my age, you're set. But finances are better. 2017, you hit 2018, you've already got the roll going, buddy. You're going to sock it away. You're going to sock it away into the kingdom. You're going to sock it away into yourself, and you're going to live off the rest. Wow, it gets quiet. Don't you love the acoustics in here? Glory to God. And here's why. Because you see, when your focus is sharper and your faith is stronger, when your families are closer, and your friendships are fuller, and when your finances are better, then your future is brighter. And every one of you have a future. This is the wonderful thing about we Christians. We have a future. We have a future. And God is working you into the reality of your destiny. He's working the plan that He determined before the foundation of the earth that you would walk into and be able to carry through. He's working that out. And all the things we go through in life, the good and the bad, the understood and the misunderstood, is all working together for this destiny that is glorious in the end, and a hope and a future. And God's moving you and working you toward that. You see, you can pray, and you should. But you're going to have to act with those prayers. And that's called faith. So you're going to have to be willing to step out on the waters and walk out there and take the risks. You know, you understand, as I do, you cannot walk on water. But you can walk on water on faith. Because what Jesus walked on was not water. And if you want to argue, I'm not even going to argue with you about that. Go home, run some water in your bathtub, and just go ahead and step in. And see if you stand on top of the water. Now, faith will hold you up. And the reason I know it was faith holding Jesus up on the water, and the reason I know it was Peter who got out of the boat and it was faith holding him up, is because when he began to look around, got his eyes off Jesus, it said he began to sink. And the Lord Jesus, being the Lord Jesus He is, He just came over and grabbed him by the hand and started pulling him up. And He didn't congratulate me. He said, "Why did you doubt, O ye of little faith?" Why did you doubt? What was holding him up? Faith. What sunk him? Doubt. You see, you can't walk on water, but you can faith. And God wants to move you out. So exercise your faith in this new year. Believe God to do things and to see things that you've never seen before. You know, I've had some outstanding miracles the Lord has worked in my ministry in the last 40 years. And I've seen some things that are far beyond anything I could ever explain. Like the woman in the Ukraine who was in a car wreck and she had a white eyeball. She had an eyeball there, but it was dead. And just remember praying for that eyeball, and I took my hand off that eyeball, and there was an eyeball looking at me. Creative eyeball. Boom. You know, God hasn't forgotten how to do these things, folks. Come on. It's not God, it's us to believe and have the expectation to bring these things to pass. That guy sitting in that wheelchair for the last 20 years, when we were praying for him in Russia, had those big goose eggs up and down his spine. He looked horrible. And we laid hands on him and prayed for him, and those goose eggs off his spine just disappeared, and he stood up and walked out of there pushing that wheelchair. God hasn't forgotten how to heal. There is nothing impossible to the Most High God. There is nothing impossible. Nothing is impossible to God. Let me say it one more time. Nothing is impossible to God. And nothing is impossible to you if you're with God. And you believe. You believe. You got to press in. You got to have that faith work and let your faith become stronger. Don't stay where you are. Become strong. Focus sharper. Become stronger. God has things He wants to do in these last days. Well, in saying all of this, I want to conclude with a scripture you're familiar with. And I don't know, Miss Eve, did you put it up, Jeremiah 29:11? You done that one yet? Here's what God says. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." This morning, saints, seek Him with all your heart. Talk to Him every day. Expect the things that are beyond yourself. See what God's going to do for you in 2017. Now, would you stand with me? Because what we want to do here this morning is let's pray as a church for the African team. We got Kelly there, Pastor Phil and Alexa, Scott and Babs, and Rob. That's it, right? Is that it? That's on target? So let's pray for them this morning. Let's pray that they're going to have breakthrough, breakout, that they've been there before. Phil has. So let's believe that some things are going to happen this time far beyond themselves. Let's pray for their safety. Let's pray for God's blessing upon them. And let's pray for those monkeys in the tree. Just that, I know it sounds facetious and foolish, but what I want to do is I want to cover the entire situation in faith. And let's believe God for them. All right? They represent you. I mean, they are there for Grace Fellowship. They're representing the Lord Jesus Christ and this church. This is a tremendous honor and blessing. So let's pray for their well-being. All right? Are you ready? Got your faith up? Let's believe together. All right? So Heavenly Father, we want to thank You that Your hand is strong upon this African team. We want to thank You, Father, that they are not only safe, but they have the energy, the strength, and Father, they bounce back from any of the effects of this trip. That, Father, they're able to flow and to go into things of Your Spirit. We want to thank You, Lord, that You give them wisdom. Lord Jesus, give them strength. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for giving them this, Father. We want to thank You, Father, that as they minister, it'll be beyond themselves, that they're going to see a difference. They're going to discern a difference. There's going to be such an anointing upon them, Lord. Yokes are going to be broken. People are going to be set free. Hearts are going to be bound up. Bodies are going to be healed. Demons are going to flee. The kingdom of God is going to be advanced. The church is going to be strengthened. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for doing this very thing. We want to thank You for giving them wisdom, revelation. Father, let revelation flow through them. Fresh revelation, sweet, sweet revelation. Father, like they've never seen it, never had it before. Let them take their notes and let them examine those notes. And Father, then let them just preach out of their heart and teach out of their heart the things beyond themselves. Father, sharpen them in all of this. Father, we want to thank You. The food they eat, the water they drink, it's all safe and blessed. And that, Father, their bodies are strong, and You keep them strong and You keep them safe. Father, we even pray for the wildlife. Father, we know that they may take a trip. They may go on a safari. Heavenly Father, there they are. Bless them with Your kingdom. Bless them with the animals of Your kingdom. Let them glory and marvel in that. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray, let's pray. Let's pray one for another. Come on. Father, we pray for grace. We thank You for Grace Fellowship. We want to thank You this church is growing. It's thriving. It's moving beyond itself. It's becoming, Father, what it's never become. It's going to do what it's never done. Father, they're going to experience things far beyond themselves. We want to thank You, Father, that this church will become known in this community as a leading church, a leading in the things of the Spirit, leading in the things of God, leading in the supernatural, leading in, Father, those things like signs, wonders, miracles. Father, that they will demonstrate, Grace Fellowship will demonstrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, not dead but alive, ruling and reigning at Your right hand in the majesty on high. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your glory, Your blessing, and Father, in Jesus' name, seal this to the hearts of Your people this morning by Your Spirit. Father, don't let them go out of here and forget these things. And Father, let them be those trees of righteousness, putting down roots and bringing up fruit. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. You know, the Spirit of the Lord just told me this. Glory. Amen. So what I want, and you men, you make your own choice, but I want every man, right up here.